All right, we'll start at the bottom of Chaf Av Amud Bet. So Amar Shmuel, Isa Adam Domeh, Va'isa Bat Domeh. So Shmuel makes a recommendation, a person should marry a Domeh, and not the daughter of a Domeh. So first of all, we have to define what these mean, what the Domeh and Bat Domeh. But I'll just reference the Rashi here, Rashi says over here, later on, it's in the middle of the daf, I just quoted Banan, Nami, Ki Aminan Isa Adam Zu, Velo Isa Zu, when Shmuel, and we're going to see in a second, Rabbi Yochanan, are saying, you should marry one of these women, I love Chatchila, this is not your first choice of women, these aren't your prime Shurach women, but Iman Tzei Acheret, if you can find someone else. But if your choices are limited, you can only find these two women, then lo yisazu v'al yisazu, or yisazu v'al yisazu, meaning that basically these are the only choices available to you. When these are the only choices available to you, which one would you give preference to? So it's not a matter of preference versus other women, but rather a preference among the two women. So what is a domeh? So Rashi says, the top line there, he says, the domeh is a nitenet, so that there are people already are speaking, or they are rumors about her, her inappropriate behavior, her possible extramarital affairs, that the word has spread around. Now Rashi explains over here that what is the word here, domeh, means dibur yaseiruhu. That means extra speaking, meaning more than normal chatter about this topic. But v'ha'ulav chashadu, it's not a real suspicion. Hala dibur yater, just a lot of speaking. Now, why does Rashi have to do this? And it's the same thing. Tosfos also discusses it. Tosfos brings down from the Rach. The Rach says, "What's a domeh? Peirush Rach shemal izin aleha bnei adam shehi mizana, and that people are speaking about her that she is mizana." He points out, what's the problem? We already had such a discussion earlier in the Gemara, and the Gemara says that if the women who drink, right, are women who, as long as they're not already the Moseret HaLabana, the women who sew at night already are not the Yentas, aren't already speaking about her. I mean, that it's not something that's become so frequent or common among the women who speak that the suspicion has gone beyond just a rumor, but it's almost seen as fact. So what the Rishonim over here have to come up with is a in-between case, which is a case where she's not reached the point where the rumor is so loud that, or so long, persisted for so long, or so loud that we consider it to be, beyond beyond the point of retractable, or beyond the point of not being true. Whereas we're not talking about a woman who has nothing about her, meaning that there's nothing we've spoken about her. So that's what Rashi and Tosfos are trying to balance. Both of them in their explanations are trying to balance between these two situations. So now, so that's what the Gemara says. Shmuel says, Isa Adam Domeh, Isa Bat Domeh, so meaning that the person should marry this woman who has rumors about her, Isa Bat Domeh, but do not marry the daughter of such a woman. Why? Shizuba Mitipa Ksheira, Vizuba Mitipa Psula, meaning that the woman who has rumors about her, she had at some point had a Cheskas Kashrus, right? She came from a proper marriage, and therefore, you're better off picking someone who you know for sure is kasher versus her daughter who has a high likelihood of being from a tipa psula, meaning that her mother's having these rumors spoken about her, and then there's a higher likelihood that her daughter might be a mamzeret or be from a problematic relationship. Rabbi Yochanan Amar says the other way around. Isa adam batuma, so isa adama. Why? Shizu omedet b'cheskat kashrut, v'zu eino omedet b'cheskat kashrut. All women have a general Cheskat Kashrut, and therefore the daughter who has no rumor spread about her, we're going to assume she's in her Cheskat Kashrut, versus the mother who's lost her Cheskat Kashrut because we have reclined with that. We have evidence, or at least rumors to the contrary, that start to cast aspersions on her Cheskat Kashrut. So now, what do you do about the Cheskas Kashrus? Okay, but we know that this woman is having, or at least rumored to be having, affairs here. So how do you deal with that fact? I mean, how does Rabbi Yochanan deal with that? What about the Tipa, right, Psula that Rabbi Yochanan talks about? So that Rashi points out, and you have to say over here, that Rov Bi'ilot Acharabau. Now we have to talk about here that in general, there's a general assumption that the majority of the Elot go after the Baal. Since the majority of Elot go after the Baal, we make this an underlying assumption of Chakashrus even to the daughter, according to Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, Meitave, no Sadam Domeh, that a person should marry a Domeh. So that sounds like, right, that sounds like Shmuel. So I'm a Rava of a Disbira. First of all, is this price to make any sense? First of all, it says, Nose Lechatila. That is our, you know, a proper solution. You should go and marry a Domet. Now, if you had a choice, right, of marrying women, this would not be your first choice of woman to pick. So the fact that it says Nose Lechatila and not Bidiyevet already shows you there's something wrong with this price. Number two, so then, Ela Imnasa. It should say, not Nose, but Imnasa. If he did marry her, he does not have to divorce her. So Tananami Batuma. If you already have the braces, already needs to be amended because it's a braces that is not necessarily properly transmitted, then if it's an improper transmission or there's a problem in the braces, so we can amend the braces also to deal with the other issue, which is Batome instead of Domet. If he made one mistake, the author of the braces, he probably made two mistakes over here. The Hilchasa, what's the Lachla? Isa Adam Batome, Isa Domet. Right, a person should marry a Batome, but not a Domet like Rabbi Yochanan, right? It's like Rabbi Yochanan. So why? The Tani, Rabbi Tachlifa Bar Marva coming to Rabbo, Isha Mizana Banak Sherim. A woman who is a adulterous woman, her children are kasher. Why? Because Rav Bilot, Boy Rav Amram, Haita Putsa Biyoter. She was very parut, meaning that we now might have undermined the assumption that Rav Bilot Acharabal. Right, so there is an underlying assumption of Obi-Lev Takar-Baal, but now we know she's spending a lot more time with this other guy than she is with her husband. So now, what do we say about this? Mao, Aliba demanda Amar, Eni Shamit Aberet, Elo Samach Levesta, Lo Tiboylach, Lo Yadabav, Lo Minterla. So there are two opinions in the Gemara Nida about when a woman becomes impregnated. So one opinion is that a woman becomes impregnated close to her Vesta, right before she becomes a Nida, the end of her Yemei Tara. There's another opinion right there that she becomes pregnant samuch l'tzilata, close to her going to the mikvah. When she comes back, she's ovulating. Right? When she comes back from the mikvah, that time she becomes impregnated. Whereas the other opinion believes that it is closer to her vesta. Closer points out that they don't believe it exclusively, but they believe rove women go in that direction. So now, if it's samuch l'vesta, right, if it's close to her vesta, then the husband never knows when that's going to be. Samuch l'vesta. Since he doesn't know when that's going to be, he can't stop his wife or make sure that she's not having this extramarital affair during that time. And Tosis again points out that it's obviously when it's not a Vesed Kavua, right? It's obviously not when she has, if he has a Vesed Kavua, he will know. And it has to be something where she has a sporadic Vesed of some sort. Therefore, he can't protect against that period of time where she become impregnated. So that, Aliba Daman Damar, so read that again. So, Aliba Daman, Yishamit Pered Allah, Aliba Daman Damar, Yishamit Pered Allah, Samach Vesed Allah, Loti Baila. There's no question here. He can't keep an eye on her, and therefore he won't stop her. And in the case of Putzabiyoter, we won't make that underlying assumption that the children are kosher. What's the question? The woman only becomes impregnated near the time that she goes to the mikvah. No, since he knows when she goes to the mikvah, then he'll make sure during that period of time that she doesn't leave his sight. Or maybe because she's a Putzbiyot there, she knows how to sneak out, she knows how to do things, and therefore we can't trust the fact that she's only had to be out with her husband during that period of time. Gemara leaves it as a taking. So it seems from this point in the Gemara believes even prospective children are kosher, as long as you can believe that will be loath akaraba. The only reason when we undermine that chazakah with Putzbiyot there, then the Gemara starts to question this chazakah that the children are kosher. But that's only when, right, the fruits of the Yoter, right? Even in the fruits of the Yoter, it was only under assumption where we know for sure that the husband can't control her. But in the case the husband has control her, we have a possibility that teku, that it may be still that the children are kasher, even in that instance. So there's Elisha Beis Din, right? These are the people that Beis Din is mekana for them. Tarabanon Ish. So, right, we have the, in the Parshat HaSotah, it says Ish, Ish. Right, so why is it that we have the double lashon of ish ish? Right, the Rebbe says matalehem ish ish kit stay shdo malam b'mal. Rebbe says okay, but ish matam lari ish ish. What's the double lashon of ish ish? The Rebbe says eishet feresh ve'eishet sota shote eishet shimum v'shalach b'alam in dinat hayam shachavush b'beit asurim. So in all these instances, so basically the kind of land the post lamik tubatan. Right, so that the Beis Din has the ability to step in and do tinoi on behalf of the Baal in each of these instances where the Baal is somehow incapacitated, right? We've spoken about this in the past. Eishet Cheresh, he's unable to speak. Shatai is mentally incapacitated. Shimum, he has some sort of ailment that doesn't allow him to do it. Shlach Baal Mitanam, he's overseas, right? And he's in jail. So in all these cases, we said Beis Din's Mekanaher in order to what? Be postlan miktubatan. In order to ruin their ksubah. Because then he can come back. She has a straw now, and she's over that. So therefore now, she would lose out her ksubah. Yachol af lehoshkotan, I would think also to force her to drink. But the kinoi Beis Din would also cause her, or allow you to have her drink the mesotah. Tomlomar beivi ish et ishto. Who has to bring, that's right, impossible to advise, beivi ish et ishto al kohen. Who has to bring the woman up to the Kohen in order to have her drink the Mesotah? That's the man. So therefore, by Kinoi, we say Ish Ish, that the Beis Din could step in and do on his behalf. But when it comes to the actual Mesotah, the drink of the Mesotah, there's only one qualified individual. And who's that qualified individual? That is the husband. That is, Paul is asking, oh, Ish Ish, right? That, didn't we use this before? When you say Ish Ish is a Reboy, is that Ish Ish or Marta Lehem? What Reboim are they really using? There are multiple Reboim here. Are they using them or do they come from, are they the same ilk? I mean, that it's a single drasha that Ish Ish expands the world.
Everybody that would use my thing, otherwise she'd be excluded.
Exactly. Or is outside the world of Ish, meaning that outside the world of her husband, that maybe we include them. So that might be the way to get around it. All right. So just to read it again, we have Torah about Ish, Matam Ish, Ish, the Rabbah, Eishet Cheresh, Eishet Soteh, Eishet Shimom, Shalach Balal Minitat Hayam, Shayach Havush Bet Esrim, Shabez Zemikan Elayim Leposlam Miktubatan, Yochol Akhoshkotam, Tamalomar Vishet Ishto, Rabbi Yossi Meir, Aplahashkotah. So this is your, right, Yossi? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rabbi Yossi here. Says even to give them to drink. When the husband leaves the Beit HaSurim, then he can have her drink. So, what's the argument over here between these two positions? Meaning that you need Vikine and Vahevi. Meaning that both of them have to be done by the same individual. The one who brings her up must be the one who is Mikaneh. That they can be separate, meaning that the kinoi can be done by a third party, by the Beis Din, and vehevi can be done by the husband. That's the nature of the ribui. The nature of the ribui is that they can do kinoi, and you can do the hevi. The Rabbanim believe no, but it means that, yes, the Beis Din can do kinoi, but that stands independent of what the husband needs to do to get her up to drink. He has to also do a kinoi vehevi. That kinoi will not help him. So Tan Rabbanan, Ish Asher Tishte Isha Tachet Isha. So that's the end of the parasha. It says Zot Torat Akinaot Asher Tishte Isha Tachet Isha with the Mapikei, right? Ishala Benitzme'ah, and she became Tameh. So now, what is this extra pasuk at the end? I mean, this pasuk wasn't necessary. So this wrap-up summary pasuk. The Gemara wants to know why does it say Asher Tishte Isha Tachet Isha? So the Gemara says Hakish. What's the point of this? Hakish ish li isha. To make a hekesh between man and woman. The isha li ish. And a woman to a man. The mai hilchoso. What does that mean to have such a hekesh? So I'm going to say, just like if he was blind, he could not make his wife drink. Right? That there was some absence of oversight or seeing by the husband. But that means what? That it was absent from his sight, meaning that he could have seen it, but it's not there. But if he can never see, then it's never ne'alam, because it's not this specific case that's ne'alam, it's always ne'alam ish. That would not be. So therefore, suma cannot be mashkez isha. Kachim haita suma laita shota. And so to her, she, if she is a suma, she will not drink. Even though she's not disqualified by the pasuk, but the hekesh between ish and isha will disqualify her. Vashimar kashem she chigeret v'gidemet laita shota. Just like a woman who is a chigeret missing a leg or missing a hand or arm. Why? Because it says says, Vehemid HaKohen Et Isha L'Pnei Hashem. The Kohen stands the woman up, so standing, or would require that she's not a Kineret. And V'natan HaKapeh, he puts the Mincha on her hands, would provide that she has hands to place the Mincha into. So therefore, she's disqualified because of the Pasuk. Kach Imhu'u, Kineret Gidem Lo Yamashkeh. So even though he's not disqualified in the Pasuk, but the Hekesh says that they're equal. So just like if he's a Kineret or a Gidem, so too he will be disqualified for having a drink. Marba Ravashi Mark Shemshi Lemit Loita Shota. Just like a woman who's unable to speak, right, will not be able to drink. That the woman must respond to the Shvuat Ha'alah and the Shvu'ah and say Amen, Amen. So if she's a lemet, she's unable to respond. So therefore, she would be disqualified for being drinking the Meisutah. Right, therefore, who? Even though he's not disqualified in the puzzle, the Hekesh of Ish to Isha, or Isha to Ish, tells me that whenever there's a disqualification from the Pasuk for one of them, that disqualification will have application to the other party, and they will be equal in both sides of this. All right, well, that's the end of the parak. And now we begin the next parak. So actually, this Mishnah is a Mishnah that's going to go through a series of limudim, and only the first one has to do with sota. There will be a number of others. The question is, why are they found here? Yeah, what happens? You'll see that there's a header for all the ones that come up. There's a header, but there's no header for the first one. So you have to make an underlying assumption that the header that applies to all the others that are after this also applied to the first case. We're going to see what that means in a second. And otherwise it doesn't make sense why all these cases are brought here in the middle of Sota. Right, so Shkem Shemad Maim Bodkim Ota, Kak Amaim Bodkim Oto. Right, just like the waters check her, then also the waters check him. So what does that mean, that the waters, right, check in? So that we'll see in the Gemara in a second. Shenemar, uva'u, uva'u, right? So that it says the mayim, it says va'u mayim, it says it twice. So one is for her, and one is for the, right, the boel. It says va'u mayim, and then it says also, early on in the parsha, that says that the uva'u, twice. So these twice that it says va'u, one is for her, and one is for the boel. Alright, now, the shame show Sarah the Baal, Kach Asura the Boel. Just like she's Asur to the Baal, she's also Asur to the Boel. Meaning that the Baal can't have his wife back, but if she becomes Asur to the Baal, so too the Boel, because again, we have the term, right, Vinitzme'ah, that it has the term Vinitzme'ah twice in the Parsha. Okay, thank you. For Oba Maim Marim, and then Chavdalid was Fishkatishat Marim Marim, Oba Maim Marim. Thank you. So now we have the term Vinitme'ah shows up. It actually shows up three times and not two times in the Parsha. Although Rashi points out that one of them is not included over here. Because we said over here it says Barab, Barabar Labruach Kinav Kinetishtovi he nitme'ah. Right, Obar Allah Ruach Kinav Kinetishtovi he lo nitme'ah. So there's one nitme'ah up there. Now we have the first nitme'ah in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Veshuchav Yishatah Shukwad Zerin, Elam Eni Yishav Nistarav Hi Nitme'ah. So Rashi says that one's not available for a limud, because that we already did on in the first paragraph. We used that, but he needs to teach you that if there's an Eid Echlad, that if we know for certain that she's nitme'ah, she becomes a Surah Labala. That we used that nitme'ah already. So you have the nitme'ah in Pasuk Yud Dalet, and then we have a Pasuk Kavtet, Yivzot Tarat HaKanot HaShet Tispe Yishat Tachishav in nitme'ah. So the term Vinitma'ah twice. Why does it say Vinitma'ah twice? One is to teach you that the Baal is a Surah Law, if we get into this situation. Number two is to teach you that the Boel is a Surah Law, meaning that if he gets divorced from her because of this, she can't then go and marry the Boel. Shenemar Nitma'ah Vinitma'ah. Dibur Rabbi Akiva. That's the position of Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Shua. Kachaya Doresh Shachari Ben HaKotzov. And this is the way that Rabbi Omer Shnei Pamim Aurim Parsha Nitma'ah Vinitma'ah Echad the Boel Echad the Baal Echad the Boel, right? That the two times that it's mentioned in the Parsha, that the Vinitma'ah, one is for the Boel and one is for the Baal. What is the difference between what Rabbi Akiva said and Rabbi Yeshua said in the name of Zachariah ben Kutzah? So Rashi points out that what depends what the limud is the limud here can be because the term Vinitma'ah appears twice, right? Or is it because it says nitma'ah v'nitma'ah, that you have a vav yisera? So the difference can be about the limud here is whether you have the limud comes out of a nitma'ah and nitma'ah, or it comes out of nitma'ah v'nitma'ah, right? That whether it's because of the vav yisera or because of the two words of nitma'ah. Right, we'll see all this.
It's from the vav, what do you mean twice nitma'ah?
Oh, what do you do with the other? What do you have to do with the other? So we'll see in the Gemara how the Gemara deals with all these limudim. The Gemara is going to go through, explicate on all the limudim here. All right. So now, bo bayom. Now here's the header that I said mentioned that came up in all the other sections or ketayim in the Mishnah is bo bayom, and we know what is bo bayom. Bo bayom, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, bo bayom is yom sheminu. But it was Lazar ben Azariah to be the Nasi. It was in the day that they had deposed Rabbi Gamliel, right, because of his interactions with Rabbi Yeshua, and they appointed Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah to be the Nasi. And on that day, took away the Shomrim from the doors of the Beis Medrash, and everybody was allowed in, because before this, Rabbi Gamliel believed that only someone who was Tochol Kibaro, only someone who was a true Talmud Chacham, in and out, could enter the Beis Medrash, and everybody else had to be left out of the Beis Medrash. So on that day, when they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they did away with the Shomrim that Rabbi Gamliel had established. They did that. The Gemara Bracha says, "Hosifu safsalim b'beit midrash." They had to add benches to the Beis Medrash. There were so many Talmidim that came in there, and the Gemara Bracha says, because of that, that on that day, right, there was anything that was said on the day was the clarity of Allah as if it was given to Sinai, because there were so many Talmidim there. Everybody was there to correct and to try to come and reconcile, come to the proper conclusion about Gemara. So whenever Mishnah says Bo Bayom, it's referring to that day. Rashi surmises from the fact that the other cases in the Mishnah start with this Bo Bayom, right? That Rashi surmises that the first case also in Sota must have been Bo Bayom, because otherwise it makes no sense why these other memrot are found in the Mishnah, which have nothing to do with Sota. That's what Rashi is. Akani lo hacha, yirbeinai, the hak drusha, the nitma, the nitma, the el nami bo bayom havi. That was also on this day, and because of that, it was included in this Mishnah. So this is a series of halachot that go bo bayom. I will say that the other thing is it's a series of halachos in which Rabbi Akiva is do reish sukim. So it's not only bo bayom, but it's also all memrot of Rabbi Akiva. You'll see in a second that Rabbi Akiva or his talmidim show up, and that might be what the common theme, right, that goes through them. Right, so
I mean, that would make sense because it doesn't say Bo Bayom.
Right.
All those really Bo Bayom. This one is not Bo Bayom, but the common theme is
that it's from Thresh Rabbi Akiva. Although Rabbi Akiva does appear in other Mishnayos and Shas, but the question is if these have a, thematically, they were a similar type of drasha, and therefore they were put together, he set them all over at the same time. Whatever that might be the comments right here. All right, Bo Bayom Thresh Rabbi Akiva. Ukli Cheres, Asher Yipol Mehem El Tocho, Kol Asher Metocho Yitma. Right, so that says that a Kli Cheres, so just as background, you know by Tuma, what is, there's a work by Kli Cheres. A Kli Cheres is only nitma mi tocho, right? But not mi baro. The kli cheres only comes to me from inside of it, and not on the outside. The other thing about a kli cheres is a kli cheres is mitami ba'avir, that you don't actually have to come to contact with the kli cheres, that even if it's found in the airspace of the kli cheres, it becomes tame, not only if it touches it. So now we have a case here that what the kli cheres shall be mehem tocho, mehem meaning a sheretz. A sheretz falls into a kli cheres. Anything inside the kli cheres will be kam tameh. A sheretz is an avatuma. Sheretz is an avatuma. Therefore, the kli cheres becomes a rishon l'tuma. Kli cheres, in coming into contact with the sheretz, now becomes a rishon l'tuma. Now, what the pasuk is, right? Kol asher b'tocho yitma. Everything that's found inside of it will become tameh. What does inside of it mean? That means food that's inside. Say you have a loaf of bread. Right, a loaf of bread. Rashi points out that why does the Mishnah always use a loaf of bread as an example by kli cheres is because their ovens were made out of cheres. So a common kli cheres was an oven. That's why the only examples are kli cheres. A kli cheres has bread that's cooking inside of it. So now the pasuk of the pasuk is therefore you have a sheretz that's now inside of a kli cheres. That kli cheres now becomes a rishon l'tuma. You have food inside the kli cheres. That food becomes a sheni l'tuma. That would be the pasuk of the pasuk. But Rabbi Kiva darshins another. He says, "Ein omer tamei." Doesn't say "kol shevet tochol tamei." Ela yitma. right? Or yitameh, right? That it will be what? It'll make others tameh. L'tameh acherim. L'mara kikar sheni shimatameh tashlishi. That teaches you that a kikar sheni will be metameh tashlishi. So let's just go through this. Generally, right, in Hilchos Tumah, Tumah by Chulin ends at sheni. I mean that you can't go. Beyond sheni l'tumah, it has no impact when it comes to Chulin. In Truma, you can have a Shlishi L'Tum'ah, and in Kochim, you can have a Revi'i L'Tum'ah. This is all learned in the Gemara Pesachim, in the end of the first paragraph in the Gemara Pesachim. Gemara has drushot for all this. That Truma is Matame and Shlishi is generally learned from a Kal B'Chomer. What Rabbi Akiva is doing right now is saying, no, that Shlishi L'Tum'ah, first of all, is found in a Pasuk. It's not learned from a Kal B'Chomer. And number two is it applies to Chulin, not just Truma. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk which is talking about chulin or truma, it doesn't define what it's talking about. It could be anything. That you have a sheretz that now comes into a kli cheres. That kli cheres becomes a rishon l'tumah. That kli cheres now bread inside of it becomes a sheni l'tumah. And it says that bread yitameh will be mitameh other things. So now if this bread is mitameh other things, that's a sheni becoming a shlishi l'tumah in chulin. So this is the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva from the limud and the pasuk of that it doesn't say tameh but rather yitmah or yitameh, and therefore it. Being the Tamei Achirim. I'm Rabbi Yoshua. May you go there. Achar Meinecha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Who will wipe the dust off your eyes, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? I mean, that he was passed away already. Shaita Omer Atin Dor Acher LeTeher Kikar Shlishi. You said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, in the future, we're going to have generations that come along and say that there is no such thing as Shlishi the Tuma. Shein Lo Mikra Min HaTorah. Right, Shul Tamei. There is no pasuk in the Torah to make a Shlishi the Tuma Tamei. Because, and we said before, Shlishi the Tuma by Truma was a Kal V'Chomer. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, you know, there's no open pasuk. People in the future are going to forget the Kal V'Chomer. They're not even going to make it by Truma. They're not even going to make it a Shlishi L'Tuma. Although Rabbi Akiva Talmidcha maybe lo mikra min haTorah. Rabbi Akiva, your Talmid brings an explicit pasuk from the Torah to prove it. Shutamei. Shnei Amerik lo shev etolcha yitma. So that means that he's saying, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you thought the opposite, that it would get rid of it. Now you have Rabbi Akiva who's darshing the pasuk in a way that makes it that not only will Truma will be Tamei Shlishi, but even Chulin will be Truma Shlishi. Now, Boba Yom Darash Rabbi Akiva, Umadotem Michutz Le'ir Al-Patz Kedma Apayim De'ama. Right, so this is outside the city of the Levi'im. You measure outside the city, right, at Patz Kedma, at the amount of space that you give outside is Apayim Be'ama, 2,000 Amot. Umikra Acharamar Mikir Ayir V'chutz Elef Amah. From the city, the wall of the city outward is 1,000 Amot, Saviv. So here, Shalemar Elef Amah, Shkvarin Amar Apayim Amah. Right? One pasuk says 2,000, one says 1,000. So if you said 1,000, you can't do that because it says 2,000. Here, Shalemar Apayim Amah, Shkvarin Amar Elef Amah, because it already says 1,000. If it's 2,000, you can't have 1,000. Hakeitzad. How do you reconcile between these two psukim? Elef Amah Migrash, Apayim Amah, Chum Shabbos. 1,000 amot is a migrash, right? Means empty space. And 2,000 amot has nothing to do with the Ir Levi'im, but it tells you that that is the end of Tchum Shabbos. That's what the relevance of 2,000 amot with regards to a city is not a relevance in terms of the property belonging to someone, but rather the end of Tchum Shabbos. Now again, Rabbi Kiva is doing something that is otherwise everybody believes that Tchum Shabbos is Mide Rabbanon, especially 2,000 amos. There might be a larger area that is maybe Doraisa because of the pasuk in Shmos, right? That a person is not lo yitzeish mim komo b'yom Shabbos. That person not leave his place in Shabbos. That might be Machane Yisrael, which is 12 meals. That might be Doraisa. But 2,000 amot, what nobody believes is midoraisa except for Rabbi Akiva. So there's a similar type of framework here where Rabbi Akiva is darshaning a pasuk about something that everybody believes is derabbanan, Tchum Shabbos, and all of a sudden Rabbi Akiva has Tchum Shabbos midoraisa. Now, of course, there are those who argue, and that's Rabbi Lazar, Benosha, Rabbi Yossi, Bli, Omer. This is what Rashi quotes in Chumash, but the one that's more famously known in the Limud, Elef Amah Migrash, Valpayim Amah, the Dotu Pramim. The Torah is dividing up how you use the property that's outside of the city. So 2,000 amot belong to the city, but how do you do that? There's 1,000 amot. The first 1,000 amot are empty space. They should be migrash, empty area to give air and nice views around the city. And then beyond that, the next 1,000 amot is sadot ukramim. So 2,000 amot belong to the city, but how do you divide up those 2,000 amot? That's what the pasuk is teaching you. First 1,000 amot, empty space, and the next 1,000 amot are sadot ukramim. That is something that unfortunately they do not do anymore. Alright, Bobayom. Torah Rabbi Akiva. On that day, Rabbi Akiva is Zoresh. Az Yashir Moshe Vnei Seot Ashir Azot Hashem Vayomru Leymor. Alright, so the question is, what is the Vayom Leymor? She can tell them Leymor. Why do you have to say Leymor? Moshe Vnei Seot saying the Shira. So what does it mean that they had Leymor? Matam Leymor Melamecha Yusra Onim Shira Karev Shal Moshe Akul Dabar Vadar Kikorin Et Halel. That they used to answer Moshe Rabbeinu the way that you read the Halel. Tomorrow we'll go through what that means, Kikorin Et Halel. But they were doing it where Moshe would say the Pasuk, and then they would answer Roshe Mishpatim, right? The way that they Karin Et Halel, the way that they read the Halel, that's what it means, Leymor. Lekach Leymor, Leymor. Nechemi Omer, Karin Et Shema, Karin Et Halel. Like one reads the Shema, and not like it reads the Halel. Again, where the people read everything that Moshe reads, the people said themselves. But here, we'll see that in the Gemara again, but Machlokes Tanoim, exactly how they, right, how they said the Shira when it came to Aziyah Shir. So again here, Rabbi Kiva being Doresh, a Pasuk, or the extra Lashon in a Pasuk. Hobayam Doresh Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkunus. Lo Abadi Yovet HaKadosh Baruch Hu El Me'ava. Right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only worshipped Hashem Ava. Shenemar says in Yov, Hein Yikteleni Lo Ayachel. Right, so even if Hashem would kill me, Lo Ayachel. Towards Him, I will, right, I'll be drawn, or I will still, right, run towards Him, or be drawn towards Him. I'll point out to you here that the Lo, if you look in the Pesukim in Yov, that the word Lo is a Kri Nexiv there. It's a Kri Nexiv with an Aleph, and a vav. So now the next line in the Mishnah makes sense. V'adayin ha-davar shakul. Right? The davar is still even. I don't know about Yob now, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. Why? Lo ani mitzapeh, o ani mitzapeh. When it says lo ayachel, is it lo with a vav? Towards him I will yearn or I'll be drawn? Or is it lo with an aleph, lo ayachel? Once God kills me, I'll have no draw, I will no longer be drawn towards it. Now we know. Now we can't say, it's a bit from that, right? We don't know now, it's unclear whether Eo is a good guy or a bad guy, depending if he used the Aleph or the Tam Lomar Ad Egva, Lo Asir Tumati Mimenu, until the death, right? Lo Asir Tumati, Tumati from Tmima, right? Tamut, meaning that I will not take away my Tmimut Mimenu, that I will not leave Hashem. So you see here what it means, that means that until death I will hold on to Hashem. Amen. Shema'avasa. So you can see that Eo worship Hashem from Ava. Amar Rabbi Yeshua is again a similar refrain. That Yov only worships the Hashem out of Ira. Ish Tam the Ashar Yirei Elukim Besar Meira. It's actually in the first parak in Yov it says it twice. Once the narrator says it when he first the first pasuk, and the second time here is when Hashem speaks to the Satan. He's describing Yov to the Satan. He says he's an Ish Tam the Ashar Yirei Elukim. Right, that he's a Yirei Elukim Besar Meira. It doesn't do bad. What does that mean, Yirei Elukim? That means that he has Yirat Onish. That's why Yov is Oed Hashem Mi Yira. Alo Yeshua Tami Tamidcha. Right, that the Yeshua, the like a grand Talmud of yours, meaning that he is the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, who's a Talmud of yours. Lamad Shemi Avasa. So this is again a similar refrain to what was done above when Rabbi Akiva darshaned about Shlishi the Tuma, that Rabbi Shua made a similar comment about Rabbi Akiva. Here he's making the comments about his Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, right, or the grand Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan Mitzakai, that a similar type of limud where it's something that Rabbi Yochanan said his whole life, and then here you have a drasha that undermines it and shows that maybe it is otherwise.